everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I am your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. Every weekend, we are here, and we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
You know, Dr. Linda, the other day, I picked up a book with an interesting title. It says, I Married You, Not Your Family, and I thought, yeah, that's right. That's right. I married you. I don't want all the baggage. But then I read the rest of the title. It says, and 9 other myths that could ruin your marriage. I said, oops, it's a myth. And I thought, wait a minute, Dr. Linda wrote the book.
That's right, I did. I wrote that book. And the title is one of the great myths of marriage. So we like to think we fall in love, right?
Right.
And then it's just the two of us. And the world is wonderful and great, and we don't have to worry about anything or anyone else.
See, I think it's a biblical thing that says the husband is supposed to leave his family and cleave to his wife, which is true.
Right.
But there is still that group of in-laws that is involved.
And not only the in-laws, but really you've got siblings of your spouse as well that are part of the deal. So it's it could be a big, if you marry into a family where you the spouse has maybe 2 or 3 siblings, and then they're married and they have families. You've got a lot of people that are actually in the room with you. And we're not talking about that necessarily physically in the room,
right?
But certainly emotionally. So the truth is, and this is the truth of that myth, when you get married, you marry the family as well. It is a package deal. That's right. It. There's no way to do it by itself.
And some listeners are saying, oh, man.
I know. And I think it's only right that we talk about this because I just celebrated another wedding anniversary.
Ooh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you meet Dr. Norm's family before you got married? And did you check them out to see if you still wanted to marry Dr. Norm?
Well, so actually, no. So this is why we're talking about this. So his family, to be fair about this, they were missionaries in South America at the time.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you remember the days before cell phones. Do you remember that, Chris?
Barely.
Well, I remember it quite well because I'm a lot older than you are. So, but it was really tough to communicate with people back in those days. So the fact that his family lived in South America, they were actually in Argentina, and we were in Virginia, there was really no way that I could have a meaningful conversation. I remember the satellite when we were trying to communicate with them. The satellite would bounce. Mm-hmm. And so you'd say something to be like, hello, 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 hello. And then you had to wait till it said hello. So you really couldn't get on there. Plus, it was really expensive to talk to them. So you could talk for a few minutes and it would cost you like
$30. No kidding.
So we couldn't do it. But I tell you, it was difficult because I met them at our actual wedding. Yeah. Now, that's not
amazing.
A strategy I recommend.
Right.
So I'm not recommending that at all. Just because it worked out for me doesn't mean it's a great strategy. So I think it's a whole lot better to meet the family, get to know the family, understand the family way before you decide you're going to marry somebody.
Well, let's go back. Did you just figure, you know what, they're missionaries. How bad can it be? And I'm sure you prayed about this, you know, before you married.
I did. To be fair about it, I did. I really felt like Norm was the one for me. Mm-hmm. But it did somewhat bother me that I never knew who his family was because he got to know mine before we got married pretty well. Mm-hmm. And so I did think, you know, how bad can they be? I mean, they're not going to be like serial killers or, you know, they're in the mission field. They're probably great Christian family. And so it was a little bit of a risk. And so, again, I'm saying to people, you should probably get to know them before.
So what happened? Day of wedding?
They were there with the kids.
Good first impression?
Yeah, I think, you know, the weddings, you remember back at your wedding, I think you're sort of unconscious in your wedding. You don't remember a whole lot because you're just trying to get people to do what they're supposed to do. And you're thinking about all the things that have to go right in the wedding. So it worked out okay. But I honestly can say that I wish I would have known more about them beforehand so I could have prepared myself a little bit more emotionally because they had very different ideas about what they did than my family did. And that did create a lot of tension at the beginning of our relationship. So what about Sharon? Did you know Sharon's family pretty well before you got married?
She and I dated for 4 years.
Oh, that's long.
We were engaged for 6 months.
Okay.
And I always lived close to within an hour of her family.
Okay.
She didn't know my family very well. They were further away. So, yeah, in that 4-year period, it was, yes, we got to know each other very well. So I knew exactly
what
I was getting myself into here. Yes.
Well, did she know what she was getting herself into in marrying you?
She was just as naive as me.
Well, you know, because a lot of times the guy goes over and meets the girl more right. often. I mean, that's more traditional, but that's mm-hmm. usually the guy going over. So you get to know the girl's family a whole lot better.
Right.
But the girl doesn't go over to the guy's family that often.
True.
So did she get to really know your parents and your siblings before?
Eventually, yeah. Again, she didn't spend as much time with my family as I did with hers.
Okay.
She knew what she was getting herself into as well.
So here's the bottom line, and this is why we're talking about this today. You do marry the family, not mm-hmm. just your spouse. You and your spouse have been influenced by those families
right.
that raised you, and that influence continues on your partner, on you. And it's not just one person in the family that you're marrying. So mm-hmm. we're going to really talk about that today. Whatever issues you may have had in your family growing up, you really need to work on those. And this is the point I want to make, Chris. The issues you have with your original family often carry over into your new family.
Wow.
And a lot of people are not aware of that. So most of the time, just because the extended families aren't physically present in the home, we're just not really sure how emotionally those families are affecting us. And if you have unresolved issues, again, they're going to impact, they're going to affect you in the new marriage. So you can save yourself a lot of headaches. And I hope a lot of you listening who might be thinking about getting married, you might want to look at that family that you're marrying into and start to talk about that with the person you're thinking about. Or if you are married, start to look at, hey, my family handled things this way and mine did this way. It'll really help you.
You know, honestly, I didn't think of any of that when we got married. And I wonder how many people do think about how family relationships affect their marriages.
Yeah, I find that couples don't talk about the family influences until there's a problem.
Right.
That's usually when it comes up. And then you'll hear something like, you're just like your father.
Mm.
Or, you know, you remind me of your mom or something like that. And even then, even when we have a problem, we don't always connect the dots. So this is the deal, that you learn certain behaviors in a family. And we kind of go into marriage, like you're saying, a little bit unconscious. We don't really always think, unless you've had some good premarital counseling, which I highly recommend. But those original family dynamics get acted out often in our present relationships. Whether those are positive things or they're negative things, they do influence.
When you get married, you're an adult at this point. You know, we're all grown up here.
Right.
But why do our original families have so much influence on us?
So because families are the training ground. So this is the training ground for how you're supposed to do relationships. So this is where we learn how to deal with conflict. We learn how to deal with anger. We deal with stress by watching the people in our family. We learn how to be intimate with the people in our family. So you have a fight with your sibling. How do you resolve that conflict? That's what you learn. You learn how to do that. And there's a whole host of relationship skills, things like having empathy or listening to others, accommodating other people, all of that. You learn that in your original family and bring it into the current family.
Well, Dr. Linda, in your book, you say that there are good parts and not so good parts to every family. And it's those not so good parts that often get us into trouble in terms of what we bring into a marriage.
Right. So we have to identify what those good parts are and those not good parts. We have to figure out what are they, and we have to look at those parts and then decide, am I going to carry this into my family? So, for example, maybe you learned to avoid conflict because that's what everyone in your original family did. That's what we would call a negative family pattern, Chris, and it's not good for intimate relationships. So that may be one of those bad parts that you want to change.
Okay, before we go into the break quickly, what is family baggage?
You know how you go to the airport and you carry a bag and then you go to retrieve it?
Right.
So family baggage is those things you bring with you from your family, and you can go and decide, I'm going to either keep this or I'm going to leave it at the airport.
I see.
Not the literal airport. Don't leave your family at the airport.
Sometimes that may sound like a good idea.
You might want to at some time, but it's literally these bags, this stuff that you're taking with you from your family.
Well, it sounds like we're going to get into a little family therapy, how we can make the best of the families we grew up in so that we can become great partners in our own family. Stay with us as we learn more about marriage and family right after the break.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold. The other day, I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, hey, watch out. but I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. If you like today's topic on today's show, I encourage you to get a copy of Dr. Linda's book, I Married You and Not Your Family, and 9 Other Myths That Will Ruin Your Marriage. You can purchase it online or at her website, drlindamental.com. And Dr. Linda regularly blogs about marriage and relationships, so follow her on social media for more help on healthy relationships. Now, Dr. Linda, I know family relationships can put stress on a couple. Is it a good idea to simply just cut off from your family if you feel that they are stressing you out or they're too involved?
So just leave them alone. Just get away from them.
Right.
Well, that doesn't usually work. Now, this is something a lot of people think is a good idea. But one of the problems with that, Chris, is that when you distance yourself from somebody, you don't learn how to deal with a person that's having problems. Mm. So difficult people, just running away from them, is not going to teach you how to stay in a relationship and work through problems. And sometimes that's the root for some people, that they've learned that in their original family. Then they get into a problem with their current spouse,
right,
and they just don't want to deal with it, and they just feel like running away. So better strategy is to work through your problems with your family. Mm. If you do that with your family, you're going to have skills that you're going to build that you can bring to your marriage. Or the other way around, you can work on it in your marriage, and then you can take it back and work on it with your family, too. So I can work with people either way.
Your original family says, what has happened to you?
Yeah.
Did you marry?
But you know what? Sometimes spouses are really reluctant to come in and get marital help. Like a woman will come in and say, I'm having a terrible time in my marriage. My husband doesn't want to come in. What do I do? And I say, bring in your original family. Mm. And she kind of looks at me like, what?
Right,
you know, like, why would I do that? And I say, because if we can work out things with your original family and practice those skills, you can apply those to your husband. So the point here is that when you distance, all you're doing is avoiding the problem, and you don't grow, you don't learn by avoiding people. So this is probably one of the most common mistakes I see in couples work, is people think this, if I just get away from my family, somehow I'm going to be okay. But in truth, that just does not work long term. You have to come to terms with the issues in your marriage and then in your original family.
Right. What about the opposite extreme, where spouses who are so involved with their families, they put their spouse second? They have to, and I've seen this before, check in with their families all the time or worry a lot about making them happy. Doesn't that get in the way of a couple's relationship as well?
Yeah, it definitely does. It's the opposite of cutoff, right? So now you're just too involved. There's too much going on between you and your family. And one of the things is when you're growing up, you're becoming a young adult, you're supposed to be sort of pulling away from your family emotionally. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean you have to physically get away with them like we talked about before. But emotionally, what you're trying to do is you're trying to stay connected to your family, have relationships with them, but you're trying to then figure out, who am I? What do I think? How am I going to act? What is my faith? Do I really believe in God? Let's say I grew up in a Christian family. Do I really believe in those Christian principles? So part of it is that you have to learn how to be your own person. And sometimes people get so overly involved with their family that their spouse starts to resent it. They feel like they're more loyal to their family than they are to their current spouse. So you got to do a lot of boundary setting and balancing that closeness with your family.
And that can be a very tough balance. And this may be a little off topic, but you bring up a good point. When a young couple is getting married, the individuals in this new marriage are also learning to be themselves, and learning to be adults. So it's a touchy time in your life.
Well, it is, because you're developing a sense of self. So see, what I get concerned about is I hear too many people say, I can't be who I need to be when I'm with him.
Mm.
I keep saying, you know what? He should not be stopping you from being who you should be. You should still work on yourself.
You know, you make a point in your book that your family doesn't determine your future relationships, but it does influence you and them. But you can be different and change family patterns.
So that's the good news. That's why we're doing the show, right? So we want to encourage people that you can change any pattern. But the first thing is, first you have to be aware of it. You have to think, okay, my family does avoid conflict. Mm-hmm. And then you name it. You identify it. And you say, conflict avoidance is a problem. Then you begin to say, okay, here's the problem. Here's the issue. You might talk to your spouse about that. And I think it's a really good idea for spouses to say, I see this in your family. And then the spouse says to you, I see this. Well, how are we going to deal with this differently? What do we want it to look like? Basically, our families did life like this. They handled stress like this. Do we want to do the same thing?
You could go to Bahamas for Christmas and just avoid both families altogether.
You know, sometimes that's a strategy that people do because they feel too overwhelmed by trying to work out all this balance with their family. Mm-hmm. But again, you're escaping.
Right.
So you're not really learning how to work through problems.
Well, let's say you talk about this, then you realize that there might actually be some problems. Well, then what?
So then you decide as a couple, how are we going to merge our two families together? Mm. Which of those patterns do we want to keep and which ones do we want to get rid of? So it's like the baggage. Which one of those bags do we want to keep? Mm-hmm. Which one of those bags do we want to get rid of? And in the process, I really want to caution people, don't blame your family. Don't go, you know, well, your family is so bad because they do this. We're not ever going to do that in our family.
Right.
You know, we're never yelling at our kids the way my parents did. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is not helpful. It's just blame because you really have to start with the assumption that families do the best that they know how to do. So rather what you're trying to do is you're trying to understand how each family functions and then how it shaped you to be the person you are today.
I think we can agree that old habits are hard to break. And generational patterns are learned and passed down. They're hard to shake as well. What are some ways that a couple can start to make changes?
First, each person, so this is real important. It had to do with what you were saying a minute ago. Mm-hmm. First, each person in a couple needs to work on developing who they are individually.
Right.
So again, you don't have to do that by going off to, you know, India and having some, you know, faraway experience away. I'm going to find myself somewhere.
Right.
You have to really stick with, okay, who am I? What do I think? What do I believe? What do I feel now that I'm a separate, independent person from my family? So work on that, but do it with your partner. So again, you don't have to move away from your partner in order to understand who you are. So that is really good. The better you are about yourself, the more you understand who you are, the better you're going to be in a relationship because you're bringing what we call a strong I to then put it together to a we of the marriage.
And then once we can identify ourselves, we're back to the baggage thing again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the negative family patterns you want to change are the baggage. So you don't, again, blame your family. You don't see yourself as a victim. You just talk about the patterns and the behaviors that you don't like and you want to change. And then you have to have some strategies to make changes.
What are some of these strategies as we head to the break?
Well, first of all, force yourself to be present when there's a problem. If you're a person who runs away, don't run away. Stay in it, even though it's uncomfortable and there's tension. And then I would say one of the key ones is learning conflict resolution and know those skills, practice those skills. You have to practice something over and over before it becomes a habit. And then engage your partner in a lot of other activities away from the problems. So build a friendship. And so that when there are problems
that come,
you have
a conflict
style.
Some strength, Everybody
some
does. Are you a conflict avoider?
You're jumping off
Maybe
of
you don't avoid,
you
but instead react
that's
intensely.
Really strong.
Or perhaps
and then the
you
last
are a
one
great
I would
negotiator.
Say, Chris, is just don't be a lone ranger.
Dr. Linda Mento offers a
don't
free conflict
to,
quiz when you visit
not
her
ask
website.
For help www.drlindahelps.com. When you have a difficult
click
time,
on the picture
you
of her latest
your partner,
we need to talk.
Not away
then have a friend or your partner take
the quiz. Well, that's good advice, Dr. Linda. We need to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about families who don't put boundaries on themselves.
Click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Hey, it's Dr. Linda Mental from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show, here on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. on Faith Radio. Join the conversation for our shows by commenting on questions and show topics posted on social media. Go to myfaithradio.com, click on my show, and leave your comments in the comment box. Or click on one of the social media icons and leave your comments on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and this has been such a helpful show on how marriage is influenced by our original families. And if you're listening and think, I need more help, I would encourage you to get Dr. Linda's book, I Married You and Not Your Family, at her website, drlindamental.com, or online. And Dr. Linda, before the break, we talked about families who don't put boundaries on themselves and how that can be a problem.
Yeah, because the families get too involved. So again, we're going to just say, find your own voice, speak up. So you do have to set boundaries. And what I recommend, Chris, is that if it's your family that's creating a problem in your marriage, then you talk to your family. Mm. Don't send your wife over there to talk to them. Right. You know, you do it yourself. And do things apart from your original family once in a while. So sometimes what happens is it's kind of like this group thing. The family has to always do the same thing and everybody has to be together. Spend some time with your wife alone. And then if you have children, the same thing. And just be with your family, not your original family. And then don't look for approval in your family. Decide what's right for you and your family now. And it may not be the same as the things that your original family is telling you. And then think when it comes to family, don't let your emotions overpower you, because I'll tell you, this is the thing that gets people upset a lot in marriages, is they just get really upset about the other person's family and what they're doing.
Your second point there reminds me of a family. They go to the beach every summer with the entire family. It's like every time this family does some sort of event, they all go.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, at what point will they say, we need to
have some space.
Split this up. Yeah.
You know, I think what it would be, in that case, I would say if that family's at the beach and the couple said, we're just going to go take a walk by ourselves, and everybody's like, we're coming with you, that might be overkill.
Right.
Because a lot of families take these big vacations and go together.
Right.
But it's when you want to carve out some time for yourself and you feel guilty because your family is kind of saying, oh, you know, why aren't you want to be with all of us? Oh, that's when the boundary things become a problem.
Right. Well, Dr. Linda, what about couples who feel there's been a lot of problems and damage from their original families, and they begin to see how it's playing out in their own marriage?
Yeah, you have to really make peace with what happened in your past. Hmm. And if you don't, it's just going to keep being present in the current time. So this usually requires, Chris, a lot of forgiveness. So take time to pray through the hurts and the wounds that you feel. And when possible, I would say go back to those family members and try to reconcile. I mean, because that's what Scripture tells us to do. It says, be reconciled to one another. So I know that that's not easy. And this is where I really tend to see a lot of families that come in for therapy, because sometimes they just need a third person to work through the hurts of the past. And sometimes those hurts can be very serious.
Right.
And so what happens if there's been like sexual abuse, or there's been, trauma in a family, or somebody with addiction, and there's been a lot of mistrust or loyalty problems or betrayals, a family therapist might have to get involved and help the family members deal with that past, move into forgiveness, and try to reconcile as much as possible, and so that they can kind of be at peace.
That's a difficult process.
It is.
Very difficult. It's easier to live with the pain and take it out on your partner, but that's not necessarily fair.
But that's what a lot of people do. You've nailed it. So it does hurt your intimacy as well if you're always kind of reacting from the stuff that has happened in the past. So I would say go back to the source of the pain, confront it, forgive it, and try to reconcile, and then let it go. It'll make a big difference in your current relationship.
What happens if there just is no reconciling? Let's say in cases of, like you mentioned before, the violence and the abuse, addiction, and other problems that makes going forward difficult.
And we do have that sometimes, because reconciliation takes two people. So if one of the two people doesn't want to reconcile, or one person continues to do dangerous things or hurtful things to the other person, you don't want to put yourself in a position to be hurt again. So again, that's where you have to set those boundaries. You have to determine how much interaction is safe. What kind of interaction can I have with a family member? Do I need supervision with that interaction? But the point is not to allow that bitterness that might come from those wounds and the refusal to reconcile and ask for forgiveness at times. You want to make sure you're not letting that go down in deep inside of you so that it's not ruining your intimacy with God and your intimacy with the person in your family. So I would say in those cases, really pray for those family members.
As we near the end of the show, talk about the importance of a couple's spiritual life when dealing with these family issues.
So in terms of the spiritual, you know, my husband came from a family that turned to God immediately when problems came up. I mean, he was on the mission field. They didn't have any place else to turn, and they turned to God. And as a result, he learned to do that. And he brought that pattern into our marriage because he was trained to do that from an early on age. When you're talking about my family and me, we tend to be a little bit more, what's the word, sort of panicky and fear-based and a little bit more anxious about things. But I had to unlearn that, and I had to learn that I needed to trust God and to deal with God in a different way than what I had learned growing up. And again, it's very understandable because there were some trauma things that happened in our family. Who helps us with that? Who is the author of all things that can be changed? That's God. So His Spirit is in us, and it's making us new. Nothing is impossible with Him. So if you're listening to this and you've held on to unforgiveness toward people in your family, right now, just decide to forgive them and pray and ask God to help you forgive them. And then try to reconcile. Even if you've tried before, give it one more shot. And then if whatever happens, just move forward. If you see negative patterns that you have brought into the marriage, get help from a Christian therapist or counselor. Ask the Lord to help you make those changes. And then align whatever you're doing with the Word of God so that you can be the absolute best spouse ever. Especially if you think you might be the problem, allow the Holy Spirit to work on you and work on your life, because change is possible. If change is needed, trust Him to help you make those changes and maybe consider the help of a Christian family therapist. Well, that's all the time we have for today, Chris. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we're going to talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Doing life together. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.